lays it back. Shea, fire, score. Brady Shea with a heavy shot from the point. Yes, Barry Kotkaniemi with his first goal as a Hurricane comes against the Canadiens. Can you imagine that?
He'll come down the right. He'll pull to the middle. Shoot, scores! Connor McDavid!
Now Shabbat sends it ahead to center. Here's Tkachuk, plays it along the boards. Batherson and Norris to the line. Batherson, his shot, scores! Batherson snaps it by Reimer. 1-0 Ottawa.
TSN 1200.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. 8:17 here on a Friday morning. The weekend is here. Your Sens fan, not so happy. 2-1 loss to San Jose last night, but a decent effort, all in all. Ranger game coming up tomorrow. Meanwhile, down the 4-17 in Montreal. Oof. That's all I can... Oof. Carolina rolls in and wins 4-1. And to add insult to injury, yes, Barry Kotkaniemi scores his first goal back in Montreal. Let's go there right now and talk to the man who broadcasts that game on TSN. He's our hockey insider. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we say hello and good morning. Presentation of the Myers Automotive Group to Dave Poulin. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
I'm currently down 4:17 in Montreal, just awaiting a flight, and it was not pretty last night, JR, at all in the Bell Center. Oh. And in Montreal, it's just, I believe they've led for a little, either under or over 3 minutes in their entire five games. And last night, they get a goal early, a power play goal from Gallagher, and it's called goaltender interference, and a tight call, and it is the right call, but a tight call. And just the kind of things that are happening right now to Montreal. And it is, you can feel the tightness just building all around. And I think the fans have actually been pretty good. I think they're just so excited to be back in the building. And last night's attendance was higher than it was on Tuesday. There were more people in the seats. But, you know, that Carolina team is a good hockey club. And we're seeing teams, as you did last night with San Jose. I had them Tuesday night in Montreal. We're seeing teams that we haven't seen. And we're looking at rosters and we're saying, okay, who is Jasper Weatherby and where did he come from? And, you know, we know, of course, in Ottawa who Jonathan Dolan was, but he had a great game on Tuesday night. So it's been interesting to see teams for the first time in a long time. And, you know, there's going to be a shakeup in the standings in the NHL. That's my early thoughts.
Outshot 10-5 Pooley in the first period was Montreal, just a flat start, and do you worry about that? I mean, these would be games where I'm assuming there'd be more of a sense of urgency.
There has to be more of a sense of urgency, Simmer, and it was actually a good start. He started his fourth line, which is now Armia, Lekkonen, and Jake Evans, and they're still trying to find the right mix of lines. They had them shaken up early. They had Suzuki, you know, away from both Caulfield and Toffoli. And they had, you know, different combinations that they were trying, but it was the air was taken out of them with that early coach's challenge. It really was. And, you know, that can work in so many different ways because if that goes for Montreal, then they get a power play goal, then they get another power play. And, of course, it goes against them. And it was a pretty tight call, I thought. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but we got a read from the league, and they said his skates were in the crease before the puck got there, and then he had contact, or more or less denying Anderson his space to get out to the top of the crease and, you know, and be in effective position. But after that point, it got really, really tough for them.
What's up with Cole Caulfield? High expectations and high hopes going into this season through five games, no points, 13 shots. Is it a matter of him getting chances, them not going in, or him not even getting the chances in the first place?
He's had a couple of chances in each of the game. He's going to get his chances, but he hasn't handled the puck as well as he did last year. And last year he came in on such a high right from his NCAA season. And I, too, joined a team, you know, at the end of a season when I was fully confident. I was coming back from Europe. But I think it's the easiest time to join a team, the end of the year when you're in full sync, you know, and you're, you know, in your stride. And then the expectations over the summer probably built up to as unreal a point as it could possibly be. And not only because of what he'd done with Nick Suzuki, but because of the absences of Montreal since that point. You know, on a given night, there's 8 or 9 different faces in the lineup than there were last year during the Cup run. And, you know, and everyone says, well, Dano is missing. Tomáš Tatar is not there as well. You know, he was a great regular season performer for them. You know, in fact, he led the team in scoring a couple of years ago, and he's been in their top 4 for 3 years. And you lose guys like that, and Corey Perry was a big part of it. In defense, you know, obviously Price is not there. Edmondson's not there. Weber's not there. And so then the expectations turn to the young guys, and the centerpiece for those expectations was clearly Cole Caulfield. And that's a lot to ask of a young guy who's only played a handful of games in the league.
Pooley, wanted to ask you about three new players. One is Freddie Anderson. The other is D'Angelo. And also Stepan, who played a little bit last year in Ottawa, is now in Carolina.
Yeah, and Stepan, you know, for a lot of reasons, didn't work out last year in Ottawa. The injury was part of it, but I think there was family issues there as well. He had a young family back across the border that he couldn't see. And you know, that's a real tough one. But Freddie Anderson looked really good, Tim. I mean, you forget how big a guy he is. He's 6'4", 240 pounds. And he was really on point. And Montreal did come on as that game went on, and their numbers showed it. But in the third period in particular, he was outstanding. He was outstanding at 2-1. He stopped a couple of breakaways. He stopped Anderson on a breakaway. He stopped Drouin on a breakaway. Clean cut. And he was really, really good. You know, he's 3-0 now. And originally a Carolina draft pick that didn't go to Carolina and then went back into the draft 2 years later, was taken by Anaheim in the third round. So in this, you know, round circle we live in, he's back in Carolina. And he looked really, really good and really fresh. D'Angelo had 77 points 2 years ago. I mean, he's a good hockey player, and for off-ice reasons, New York chose to buy him out. So Carolina picks up a guy that could be the offensive replacement for Dougie Hamilton, not the all-around replacement, but the offensive replacement, and they can play him in the sixth hole. So he's got a really nice soft landing in Carolina, and, you know, without a lot of noise in Carolina. And they're a good hockey club. They play fast. They play really hard. They're hard on the puck, which you would expect from a Rod Brendamore team, but now they just have more depth.
Okay, we'll talk about Ottawa in just a second. One more on Carolina, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and this is the knife in the back for Montreal fans, and then the twist. He comes back and he gets his first goal, of course, last night in the Carolina win. I won't ask you so much about his game, but what is your assessment as he starts his fourth year as a pro? What do you see as the upside for Jesperi Kotkaniemi?
I think he can be a number two center, JR. I think that's where his upside is. And, you know, he's got to balance out the offense and defense a little bit, but I think he can be that good. I think there's enough talent there. There's really good size. I don't think, I mean, it's funny, you asked me the question. I think Rod Brendamore is asking himself that question right now. And to be able to place him on a line with Sebastian Aho, who's one of the best players in the league, and Teuvo Teravainen, two countrymen, it's a pretty nice situation for him. And the booing last night in Montreal, you'd like to ask a reflective question amongst the people booing and saying, so you're 21 years old and you're just offered probably 3+ times what you're ever going to earn in Montreal this year. And you're going to turn down $6+ million a year if you're a 21-year-old. And we forget he's just 21. He's still one of the younger players in the league. He's played 175 games in the National Hockey League. So I see him as a two upside. It still may be a couple of years away. I could see him as a guy, even for quantity of games played, not hitting his stride till he's 24 or 25 years old. And I could see a bump back in the contract next year that Carolina says, okay, we want a multi-year deal in the high twos or the low threes. I could see that being very, very doable for both sides of the equation.
All right, here in Ottawa, the Sens fall 2-1 to the San Jose Sharks. I know you had your own game to do, but probably saw the highlights. Brady Tkachuk plays his first game, Dave, and DJ Smith said going into it, I don't want to play him too much in his, you know, in his first game or two. I want to kind of ramp him up, and then he ends up playing 19:39. Part of it is circumstance because Pinto gets hurt and only plays two shifts, and then part of it is just the score, right? It's a close game, and Ottawa's chasing the game for the last half of the game, but... what did you, from what you saw of it, what you've read, what did you make of Brady Tkachuk's first game?
Yeah, I had a chance to watch the condensed game last night, so a pretty good snapshot of it, and he was as expected. I mean, the thing that jumps out at you is six hits, but of course it shouldn't jump out at you at all. You should say, okay, well, you know, he's going to be one of the leaders in the league in hits. But I thought he was, you know, he was as expected. And it's funny when you say that about DJ Smith, because when you're on the bench and when you're coaching, you look down and you see names and numbers. And you don't see, 6 minutes and 45 seconds in the first period. You say, Brady, you're up next. I mean, that's what you do. And the tighter the game is, the more you see numbers. And it's an interesting thought to think that coaches can lose players on the bench, but coaches lose players on the bench because when they look down, they see number seven. And it's just easier to go that way. And I've often seen an assistant coach wander over or been in front of the bench, you know, in front of the coaches who wander over and say, hey, you've totally lost so-and-so. And by the way, you got to give the guy down there a break. And it's a good problem to have when you're a coach and you want to put a guy out there that much. And the minute he had him, you know, at his access, he was going to play him. And, you know, I did see the Pinto injury, and that's really, really unfortunate. You know, I'm a fan of the young man, and he did try to come back in the second period. I saw that. In fact, was on the ice for a goal against and on a play he would normally make. But I don't know if you got any word on that after the game. I wasn't able to find anything that said, you know, how long it could be. It looked like some sort of a shoulder injury.
Yeah, it looks like it's not as bad. No, nothing structural, Pooley. Pure speculation on your part. But what's it going to be like for Brady Tkachuk today? But more importantly, for a 1 o'clock start tomorrow, how the leg's going to be feeling?
Totally fine. At that age, you know, he's used to playing, you know, even in his year at Boston University, they play back-to-back. And that's not a big deal for those guys at all to come right back and play. He'll be, and in fact, I would expect him to be better in game two.
Matt Murray starts his first game as well. That's the other storyline for Ottawa. He lets in two, saves 22, but neither of the two goals necessarily were the stoppable ones. If you're DJ Smith, you roll right back with him tomorrow afternoon against New York.
I think I do, and you know, and I'm comfortable with Forsberg as well, and I think the Ottawa goaltending has been a really, really good story early in the season, and it gives them a lot of hope, not only for this year and next year, but moving forward, but Philip Gustafson and the way that he has played early and through the exhibition season. So I think it's a great story. And, you know, when you're not talking about something, when you have that much of a less of a distraction, it's easier to focus your group up front. And I think the group up front is confident with the goaltending they have right now, and they should be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Structurally, do you really like what he's kind of doing, along with the work with Zach Burke, and other than maybe the glove hand, you just see a completely different goaltender from last year?
I look for big and calm, Simmer. I don't overcomplicate it much past that. And, you know, when a goalie is jumping around, then I have concerns. And, you know, I played with some really good ones, and I was a goalie guy. Like, I sat with the goalies on the bus. I was, you know, a real good friend to those guys, I think because I came back into my own end once in a while. But, you know, I talked a lot about goaltending with Ron Hextall, with Andy Moe, with Reggie Lemelin, with guys like that, and Olaf Kolzig. And when they're quiet, they're good. And I think right now Matt Murray is quiet, efficient, but he looks big in there. And, you know, if you're a shooter and you're coming in, he is a big guy. But right now there's a difference between being big and playing big, and right now he's playing big.
Chris Johnson, your colleague at TSN on Insider Trading last night, said that Pierre Dorion is looking fairly hard, it sounds like, to add some scoring to the team. The Pinto thing, we'll see. Doesn't sound like it's anything long-term, but regardless, he's a first-year player in the NHL. How essential do you think it is that the Sens add a scoring forward, be it a center or a forward?
I think it's still on their terms, and it's a really hard time of the year to do that, JR, because nobody quite knows what they have or where they are. They don't have their own stuff sorted out yet. Now, until they sort that out, and sometimes that 10 or 12 or 14 games, when things start to settle a little bit and somebody says, okay, this young player is better than we thought, we can move this player. Or, you know, somebody's not doing what we thought and we're looking for that. So I think, you know, just by being patient, by watching the waiver wire, you're going to see players come up. And by actively looking at who might be available by trade, but it's a tough time. It's the window before things really start to happen. And I don't expect that, you know, somebody prime is going to be available on the very short term.
Would you take Phil Kessel?
I have too long a history with him, Simmer.
You're trying. No, don't be trying to buy time with laughing.
I have
a
history with him.
But let's be real.
Think it's a fit.
Okay.
I do not think it's a fit.
I don't either.
I think Phil goes to a the same type of move as when he went to Pittsburgh and plays a support third line role. And by the way, if he breaks the Iron Man's Doug Jarvis's Iron Man. If he breaks that, if that physical specimen breaks the Iron Man record in the NHL, it'll be one of the greatest records ever held.
And Gary Roberts should shut down his entire operation.
Oh, boy. You know, and he worked with Phil Kessel.
I know.
He's got him on his resume. But Phil is just an amazing guy. And you know, his genetics are blessed. And he stays healthy. And he actually looks like he's moving pretty well right now. So I literally go back. The first time I saw him, he was 16 years old. And he was playing up with the big team in the national team program. And he was absolutely flying. And at that point, he was slated to go number one overall. He ended up going number five to Boston. But what a talent this many years later, but I don't think that's a fit for the Ottawa Senators. Mm.
A couple things before we let you go. Jack Hughes is out for New Jersey. It's a dislocation. They call it good news that he won't need surgery, but a dislocation is never a good thing, especially when you're, you're a high-scoring, young, and not-so-big player. So how concerned would you be if you're the Devils over your star forward having a significant injury this early in his career?
I would be incredibly patient bringing him back, JR. I really would, and be over and above on the time length and just making sure. And, you know, that body type, he's a slight guy, but he's so willing to go wherever he has to go to get the job done. And, you know, even Pinto, at a better size, this is a physical game, and those are young bodies. Those are 20, 21-year-old bodies, and you see some of the guys that hit their full physical stride at 28, 29, 30, and just the physical substance they have to go in the corner with a Jack Hughes, I'd be incredibly patient with that young man.
I look at Hughes, Poole, and he gets completely manhandled. He's still a boy. I mean, has it been, and again, he's been up and down, but was it a big, big mistake bringing him in so early?
You know, I think his talent dictated that, and the state of the team dictated that. And, you know, as much as anything, that's why moves are made at that point. And, you know, in retrospect, you'd probably say, yes, he could have used another year in college or a year in college. But, you know, and his brother did 2 years at the University of Michigan. So he had similar cases and different philosophies within the same family. So it's a hard one to fathom. I think most times you'd say you'd be concerned about the body type because the head doesn't believe the body's the size it is. And he has grown, but you know, the willingness to go where he has to go is there, and then that becomes a dangerous thing.
Final one for you, Dave. We're about 4 months out from the Beijing Olympics, and last Friday was the deadline for all countries to get a preliminary list of 50 skaters and 5 goalies in from whom they will eventually choose their Olympic team. So Pierre Lebrun reported last night that Canada's list of 5 goalies actually is 6 because they got an exemption because of Carey Price's current state. So I'm going to give you the 6 names of the goalies on Canada's list. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I want you to tell me if you think they've missed anybody, A, and B, as it sits right now, who you think the 3 will eventually be that will go to Beijing. So the list of 6 is Carey Price, Jordan Binnington, Darcy Kemper, Mackenzie Blackwood, Carter Hart, and Marc-Andre Fleury. A, did they miss anyone? And B, who do you think will be, as it sits right now, the 3 that will be there?
I didn't see the list, and I wouldn't. I mean, I think Carey Price is in the mix for sure. And then I might go Jordan Binnington. Don't sleep on Binnington because he looks like he's got his Stanley Cup game back. And if you're comfortable with those two, it'd be between Marc-Andre Fleury and Darcy Kemper, but I might be leaning Marc-Andre Fleury even with a tough start.
Interesting. Well, we'll find out sooner rather than later, right? And would you ever give any thought to having a third goalie as a guy who maybe in 2026 you think will be, so you go in a younger route, you know, for a guy to kind of get used to it? Do you even think about that, or you're just for the here and now and don't worry about that?
I'm for the here and now in the Olympics. Absolutely for the here and now.
Yeah. You deal with later.
And absolutely.
And on that note, we'll let you go and appreciate the time, not only today and all this week. You're out west next week with the Habs, is that right?
I am. I'll be good Monday and Wednesday, and then we'll figure out if I'm up at 5 in the morning on Friday in L.A.
Okay, well, we'll see. We can always pinch hit for you as well. And so you got a new look at the new rink in Seattle, right, for the first time?
I do not. Craig Button's going to do the Seattle game with Brian Mudrick, and then I picked him up in San Jose, L.A., and Anaheim.
Okay, sounds good. Appreciate the time. Have a great weekend.
You as well, guys. Thanks.
Welcome back. 8:43 here on a Friday morning. J.R. Zimmer and Hammer. Still to come, we've got Sens Caps tickets to give away, 100 level seats to the game coming up on Monday. That'll wrap up the little mini homestand the Sens are on right now. So that we'll do that before 10 o'clock this morning. Another set, by the way, to be given away this afternoon on the drive after 2 o'clock. In the box, we'll take over from us at 10 this morning. It'll be Steve Lloyd. Chris Stevenson sits in, and they'll be coming to you live from Canadian Tire Center. Sens are back on the practice ice at 11:30 this morning. And I guess at that point, we'll find out. Well, hey, we'll see if Shane Pinto's actually on the ice, which I think is the big question, and if he'll be good to go for the game tomorrow. Certainly, I think when I saw the injury first, and it occurred very early in the game last night, and his reaction and him just racing off the ice, I'm going, that looks terrible.
Yeah.
That looks Colin White-like, and this is going to be terrible. And then to see him sitting on the bench to start the second period, you're going, wow, huge surprise. Mm-hmm. And then he plays one shift and says, no, I'm not ready to go. This is not a good idea. So, yeah. And we got a bunch of texts on it, and I wondered the same thing.
Yeah.
What was going on with him coming out after he sat out the rest of the first period? Like, was he cleared by the team's medical staff? Was he injured? Because there was, on that shift in the second period, there was a Sharks player that took a swing at a puck and did hit him. Was he injured in that? DJ Smith was specifically asked about that and said he left the game again because of the injury in the first period. So it was not from the slash. It was from the injury in the first period. So I guess my question is, they've said it's not structural, so it's just sore.
Yeah.
Should they have sent him back out there again in the second period, even if it was just a soreness thing?
Well, and to help people at home, JR, first of all, I use my Google doctor app, and I diagnosed him right
MD?
Away.
WebMD? Yeah.
And my MD came back. He's out for the thing. But what I'm also told is that the doctors told him not to go, but he just went anyway, JR. Well, of course, they gave him the okay. And in this case, hey, you have a sore shoulder.
Sore shoulder.
Hey,
how about a bad wing?
No, but hey, you know what? You're in some pain. I don't know if they taped him up a little bit, but obviously the idea was, you're not going to do any further damage. Give him a try. They're not going to risk a young hockey player, or any hockey player for that matter, JR. And it was like, hey, you make a call, and you felt like, hey, I can give it a try. So, like I said, no fault there, but you don't know until you get into live action. You go to really move around, but they must have moved him around pretty good and felt confident, because the adjustment you do in the training room would be, obviously everything's off, and they're going to be moving that shoulder all over the place, and he must have given the okay that he was going to give her another try.
Speaking of shoulder injuries, Derek writes, good morning, fellas. I think Jack Hughes injured the shoulder this past summer when his brother got drafted in the celebration. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And he was the most happiest of all, of course, because his brother got drafted into the Devils organization. But yeah, I mean, Jack Hughes is not a big guy, got absolutely smoked when he ended up getting injured with that dislocation.
He got manhandled, and a couple of years ago when Kotkaniemi got picked up and thrown on the ground, I know everybody was mad, JR. Pettersson has had the same thing. There are just certain guys, certain times as an 18-year-old, and for Jack Hughes, we're now talking about, what, year three that he's in the National Hockey League? He is still very much a boy. Now, you can also make the argument that he's never going to be a massive guy anyway, but that's the risk with some of these 18-year-olds and getting into spots there where, you know, it doesn't matter how you trained or how much weight you put on, he still is very much, you know, physically a boy, and now all of a sudden the injury is starting to build up.
To the question I put to Dave Poulin, I'll ask you as the former Tendy.
Yeah.
So the list of six that Canada has apparently put in to whomever it is that you put the list in.
Wow.
So again, 50 skaters and five goalies. You had to put the list in last Friday, and it's only from that list you're allowed to select your final Olympic team.
Wow.
So they got to add a sixth goalie because of the where we're at with Carey Price right now. Don't know if he's going to be back or not.
Well, it's also weird is that Blackwood's not even eligible, right? Because he's not been vaccinated.
Well, he might be. He might get vaccinated by then. So that's why he's they've decided to put him on the list.
Okay. Yeah.
He would be ineligible right now as it sits with his vaccination status. Here's the list of six.
Yeah.
Carey Price, Jordan Binnington, Darcy Kemper, Mackenzie Blackwood, Carter Hart, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah.
As it sits here 4 months out, who will be the three that will be tending the twine tent for Canada in China?
You know what? A couple things, JR. First of all, I'm going with the three best, which is obvious. If Carey Price is healthy, he's there. Marc-Andre Fleury and Darcy Kemper. I haven't watched enough of Binnington. I will watch him. But in my mind, it's not even close. It's those three. Carter Hart can barely play in the NHL. Blackwood's a nice young goaltender, but it's kind of scary how thin we are as goaltenders. If you take Carey Price out of there, becomes a wild card. And also when you asked, and this is a big deal for me, I know what you're saying about 2026, and I know in some cases for a world championship, and the 1 year Hockey Canada brought DiPietro there as a third goaltender. Last time around, they brought Mike Smith, who's an older guy, but also because he bought into it.
Good in the room.
Yeah, but ever taking away the opportunity, whether I'm the third goalie or the 10th goalie, away from a guy, and I'll go back to the dream team, and whoever spot, I'm assuming it's Isaiah Thomas that Christian Laettner took, like what devastation that is for an athlete. Hey, if you're an NHL player, go now. Worry about 2026 later. But it also, that whole summary, JR, aren't you kind of nervous about the goaltending?
Yes.
Especially if you take Carey Price off of there. I mean, it's really crazy how we have become, like, power ranking. And I'm going to say, okay, I'll go Markstrom, Vasilevsky, Hellebuck. Who would be the starting goaltender for Finland? Would be
it might be Rask still.
Oh, absolutely.
He's
great point. Or yeah. Seceros. But, you know, without Carey Price, I mean, I'm going to say we're probably five deep on the international. Now, I don't think Denmark's going, because I'd actually put Freddie Anderson right there with all of our guys. Just very weird that we've dropped that much in the goaltending department, Jerry.
Yeah. Interesting that Dave Poulin did select Jordan Binnington. I don't know if he's watched a lot of Blues early on. They're off to a decent start.
Yeah.
Because Jordan Binnington obviously was lights out when they won the Cup a couple years ago, and then I think he leveled off significantly, as did the entire team.
Allen was really the far better goaltender that following year, right?
Yeah, so interesting that Dave put him on the list. Yeah, you want to go with the three hottest, but if, for whatever reason, if Carey Price is not healthy at that point, yeah, I'm not overly confident in whomever of the other five would be the guy going into it.
Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury's season last year, JR, now he's on a bad team. He's reset. I really like Darcy Kemper. And to your point that you mentioned a couple of days ago, I'm not saying it's easy being the Canadian goaltender. You're going to play some very good teams, especially the U.S. maybe in a gold medal game. But for the style that he plays, he's a very efficient goaltender, not flashy. He'd end up being a pretty good fit. And also the conversation with Pooley. Going through that roster, JR, on Carolina, we could have went for a lot longer, because the funny dynamic in Carolina is, you know, we're so focused on Kotkaniemi. How badly would they like a redo on that Aho offer sheet, where maybe they actually did one that might have worked? You know what I mean? Like, as Pooley pointed out, this guy is an absolute stud, right? No surprise. Mm-hmm. Also, D'Angelo, early on, Dougie Hamilton has one goal, no assists in three games. D'Angelo could be, well, he's three assists, but I just thought that fit for what they were doing. And again, when we came up with, and I hope I said this, but, you know, Carolina to me is better than the Islanders. And I'm a little surprised that people keep, and I'm a big Freddie Anderson guy, but when he's out of that market, I still look at that team and think, if I was to pick somebody to come out of that division, that would be my team.
All right, let's get some wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday from Mark. Can I get my boyfriend was a Packer wrench to people for not realizing it's time to put your winter tires on? That's from Mark.
My boyfriend was a Packer.
Oh. Wow, you had to blow the dust off that one. That one has been deep in the vault for a long time. Why did we lose that one?
I had to recreate it.
Oh. That was a classic wrench.
I had it stored someplace else.
Right.
And I just made my appointment. I'm going to go in early November. Like, you're supposed
7 degrees or less.
Yeah.
Okay. When the temperature is regularly or 7 degrees or less.
Okay.
So you're okay. You're good.
And I think, as an Ontario vehicle, JR, I know it's, what, November 15th in Quebec is a law.
Yes.
If I drive an Ontario vehicle, I'm assuming I have to have snow tires on to go into Quebec?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one.
I would bet they could pull you.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Oh, you!
I think you have to be a Quebec licensed.
Oh, no way! The way they operate over.
They're not going to pull you over. And go, excuse me, sir. You don't have winter tires on.
They just pull you over anyway.
Oh yeah,
you have an Ontario.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? We're sending you in the mini cross. We're going to send you over to Costco for the 70 pack of beer.
Crossover vehicle.
We're going to get you. They're, oh my God, they probably have a scanner that says, first of all, you're from Ontario. Second, I can see up on blocks where they say, listen, you don't get your vehicle back and you have to buy the tires from us.
And by the way, you're supposed to, when you bring alcohol across a provincial border, pay the tax.
Oh, of course.
Mister.
Any idea who you go to pay that? Hey, like, is there the liquor tax guy?
He's there sitting in the back seat of the cop car.
Yeah.
I need a wrench to myself, writes Kevin. I missed the call for a chance to win the $1,000 in the $1,000 minute because I was checking my parking spot for nails. My ringer and my phone was turned off. So I need a wrench to my melon. I could have won $1,000. That's from Kevin. You just won $1,000. Sorry, Kevin.
So we gave 10 bone to Phil.
So you called Kevin today?
I think this was yesterday. I think Kevin was yesterday, and I let it ring.
Here's the thing.
Sorry, Kev. Yeah, I'm out.
When you text us to say I'd like to play the contest, and then
maybe Wednesday,
we call you when you're the 50th texter, and then you don't answer.
Yeah.
That's really on you.
It's like being on Gilligan's Island, and you get that one phone call, and you forget to grab a chair, right? That was a rescue plane.
Cork writes, good morning, guys. Can I get a massive wrench to any football person, most notably Troy Aikman, last night, who uses the term offsides, plural. It drives me bonkers. Jumping jeepers, as Simmer would say. That's from Cork.
How about them Cowboys?
That's interesting terminology, though, right? Because is by pluralizing a JR meaning that...
Well, you can only go offside once, so it is offside. It is singular.
Okay.
So that's Troy Aikman. He's just another Dallas guy in a broadcast booth. Yeah. Let's see here. Good morning, fellas. Can I please throw a wrench at the people who are texting in complaining about the speaker volume at the Sens game only in Ottawa?
Thank you.
Unbelievable. That's from Steve in Barrhaven.
That don't mean...
Steven, and I wanted to make the point, JR, and this is typical of everything. That is not just an Ottawa thing. It's every game. And of all the quietest place on the planet, and one of the funniest stories back in the 80s was in good old Peterborough. They decided they're going to get rid of the organ. They're going to put music out.
What?
Well, yeah.
They're getting rid of the hockey organ?
Yeah.
They can't do that.
Well, at least they're going to play music, rock music.
Come on, Peterborough.
And for the Peterborough crowd that at this point, they were over 60 then. Now most of them are over 100.
Not
good. That lasted about a week, and the organ was back. So every building goes through the same thing. What type of music, how loud the music, who wants music. You're never going to please everybody.
Exactly. Goes back to my theory, you can never please 100% of the people all of the time.
And DJ Prosper was back, not last night, but he was there over the weekend, my last home game.
Uh-huh.
It was good to see him back in the house pumping up the crowd.
This town loves to find things to complain about. Arena sound too loud? Have you been to other venues? Ottawa, definitely the town that fun forgot. That comes from Unsigned. From Unsigned again. I think the last two home games, Dallas and San Jose, walked in with the intent to bully a young team. The job of an official is to not only call a good game, but also to protect both teams. The Burns stiff arm should have been called along with some other hits from San Jose's blue line. Player safety still hasn't been figured out by the NHL. I know it's the big leagues, however, safety matters. That comes from Unsigned. Do you find the Sharks overtly physical last night, sir?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You don't think so?
Overly?
I thought Brent Burns, not the entire crew, but I definitely thought Brent Burns was in there imposing his size.
Yeah.
His little forearm shiver to Connor Brown's head into the glass, that cut him open.
Yeah, that's a good point there, Hammer. I think this is just a mandate from Bobby Budner and that how are they going to survive?
Exactly.
And the boogeyman loved to play that way, but I think he's just asking Brent Burns be more physical. And going back to the Pinto play there.
Yeah.
Just a clean hit is my point.
Yeah.
I haven't thought that, Jared. Like, let me put it this way. I have not felt like Ottawa has been intimidated in either game. And I think that officiating nowadays, they do a pretty good job protecting.
The Pinto hit, I've got no problem with that one. It's the slash. Just because there's a puck in the air doesn't mean you get to give it a two-hand whack to try to knock it out of the air.
Mm.
When somebody, you still have to take care of your stick. That's still care a mandate
control.
There. Yeah.
I would also say, and again, I'm not saying Ottawa lost because of bad officiating.
No.
I just hate that. At some point, Tim Stützle is going to get the respect of the officials in this league as eventually he will be a big enough name and a big enough star, but obviously he's not at this point. There were a couple of times last night, like he was absolutely just horse tackled by somebody coming over the blue line, just blatantly right in front of the official, just pulled down, no call.
Yeah.
But again, a star player gets that call, rookie player, second year player. Guy, obviously, at this point, as just doesn't get enough respect from the officials.
Yeah, and totally agree. And last year, I thought there was a tendency at times to maybe go a little early. Now you're almost asking him, stop staying on your feet all the time, JR, because, hey, he starts speeding through the neutral zone. That's the only choice they have as a defender.
But he already has that little reputation, right? So he can't be doing that right now of kind of falling down too easily or the old snapback head. So I like what he's doing right now, and that's battling through it. He drew a nice penalty in the second period when he was driving to the net, and I don't know what blue liner it was, but just hacked him and pushed him down. I think they called it holding. So just keep doing that, and you'll get your calls.
Wrench to Coach Capuano for playing a Shabbat four straight minutes at the end of the game. Why not Delzato showing crisp passes and good vision? That comes from unsigned.
This didn't impact the game.
Did you say this didn't impact the game?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
I must admit, I was not paying too close attention to Delzato. So for me, he didn't make any egregious errors. What were your thoughts on his game?
You know what? He has tracked better and isolated people a little bit better, JR. The issue I have, first of all, he shouldn't be out there from No. I mean late in the game. Okay. From a pace standpoint.
Even when you're chasing it?
No, from a pace standpoint, that's not what he does. He shouldn't be on a power play. Defensively, below the goal line, a bit of a struggle. But as far as veteran move positioning, so far. But as I said, I think there's a big difference between what Toronto presented and the way that San Jose and Dallas had played. But better than in the preseason, that's for sure. Got to give him credit for that.
Right. All right, one more, and then we'll do some more next hour. Another wrench here. Wrench to Steve Yzerman. Typically the least wrench-worthy human. His Red Wings roll into the Bell Center tomorrow night, and Tyler Bertuzzi, who has more goals then the entire Montreal Canadiens team, will be home with his anti-vaxxer friends. A wrench for this embarrassment to the Wings in the NHL. That's from Reg.
J'aimerais remercier et féliciter.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. Tyler Bertuzzi is one of Gary Bettman put the list put the number at four. Four unvaccinated NHL players. Tyler Bertuzzi being one. He, under the current rules, is not allowed to play any games in Canada. Will not be able to play any games in Canada.
Are we going Blackwood, Archibald, and Hamonic?
I believe so. Yeah.
Hamonic is on a leave now?
He's on leave, yeah. So he's off the cap for the Canucks. I'm not sure what is going to happen with him. It's a bit of an interesting situation. Those are the four. Archibald hasn't played a game, obviously, because he had myocarditis, I believe.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Well, there's something in his medical history, okay. I think, was
part of
it.
But he got hurt in the preseason, did
he
not?
Well, I don't know if it's hurt or I don't know the situation with I'm not exactly but that is the list. It's a very short one. But Tyler Bertuzzi is the big name. Blackwood would be the other one, right? My goodness, the New Jersey Devils, when they do a Canadian road trip, whenever that happens for the first time, and you got your number one goalie who, at this point, isn't going to be able to go on it, so... But it is what it is, as they say. All right, 9 o'clock. We'll get you the latest news. Run down the scoreboard, all the details, and the Sens 2-1 loss to the Sharks. Don't forget, next hour, we've got Sens Caps tickets for Monday night. And I'm going to hear a sit-down interview that Dean Brown did with Sens head coach DJ Smith. Not about the game, because this was actually done earlier in the week, but just more of a bigger picture DJ Smith discussion. We're going to bring that to you coming up in the next hour, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.